Hello and welcome to 7 Days of Gaming, the biggest stories from the last week in the PC gaming world. I'm your host Alex Pace, and this episode covers the week from 2nd to 9th of March 2017. We've got Ghost Recon Wildlands beta breaks records, For Honor player numbers halved, and Ion is dead. Let's get to it. Ubisoft have commented on the effect the new Avatar game will have on The Division, both of which are being developed by Massive Entertainment. According to the company, the Avatar game will have its own dedicated team and will have no impact on the team working on The Division. They also indicated they will soon have more to share on what's coming next for the game. Interestingly, the company released a somewhat vague statement in their last financial earnings call, saying they didn't have another AAA game lined up for the coming year, which now has been replaced by continued support for an existing, well-performing live game. It is unclear if this refers to The Division or Rainbow Six Siege. Nvidia is working on changes to its DirectX 12 API that will reportedly add up to a 16% boost in games that use the system. This is very similar to what AMD announced they were doing last week with their Vulkan API. The company is collaborating with many different game developers, including those working on Ashes of the Singularity, Gears of War 4, Rise of the Tomb Raider, and The Division. Based on the fact Nvidia will probably want to show off their new 1080 Ti, the drivers are expected to release in the near future. Just Cause is the latest in a long line of games to be adapted into film. John Colley, screenwriter on Master and Commander and Happy Feet, is writing the script, and Brad Peyton of San Andreas is directing. Any further details are still to be decided, and production isn't expected to start until at least late this year. The Ghost Recon Wildlands beta has broken Ubisoft records, bringing in over 6 million players. There are also some interesting stats to go along with the announcement, like the fact that 1.2 billion cartel members were eliminated and over 4,000 years' worth was played. In addition, 1.3 million hours were spent flying drones, 12.5 million base jumps were made, and 2.8 million hours were spent in the radioactive green wonderland of night vision. The full game released on March 7th. A game doing not so well is Ubisoft's For Honor, who saw its player count drop by well over half just a few weeks after launch. The initial player count was an average 39,000 over an hour, dropping down to the current 15,000. During its beta phase, a then-record 1.8 million players signed up, in contrast to the 38,000 people who have actually bought the game. Ubisoft managed to bring The Division, which had the same problem, back from the brink with frequent updates, but it's unusual to see player counts drop so quickly after a game's release. In game release and update news, Tom Francis of Gunpoint fame has released Morphblade, a hexagonal grid-based battler. Each hex you move to changes your weapon, and you can plan out your grid between each wave. Upgrades can then be applied to and shared between weapon types, as well as stacked, meaning you could end up with an arrow that propels you with infinite range, kills everything in your path, penetrates armor, knocks back everyone near your destination, heals you, and doubles as a teleporter. Sunless Skies, the sequel to Failbutter Games' Sunless Sea, has finished its Kickstarter campaign, reaching over 3 times the original goal. The final amount came to almost £378,000, with nearly every stretch goal reached. The game takes place in an alternate reality Victorian Empire, which has launched itself into space, creating a story-rich, dangerous, steampunk world to explore. You pilot your steam-powered spacecraft through the heavens and encounter hundreds of thousands of words of story and lore. Expected release is May next year. No Man's Sky has received another large update, this time adding Steam Workshop integration, numerous graphical improvements including 4K support, permadeath, and some new vehicles. Also added was the camera mode, which allows free movement, third-person view, and control over the time of day and atmospheric conditions. Players can now own multiple ships, and several new weapons and weapon modes are now available. After 2 years in early access, LEGO Worlds from Traveller's Tales has officially launched. Until recently, the game was an open-world sandbox a la Minecraft, but upon release, more structured elements like quests and unlockable items have made their way in. Traveller's Tales say they will continue support for the game for the foreseeable future, with a host of regular updates that will introduce the community's most highly requested features, as well as some more unannounced content. Local split-screen and online multiplayer are available, as well as large-scale landscaping tools for shaping the procedurally generated worlds. Ion was announced at E3 2015 as the game that is not a game, the game that is a universe built not on scripts or quests, but on the laws of physics, biology, and chemistry, the game that will be a simulation MMO that explores mankind's expansion into space. Now it can only be described as yet another game down the drain. DayZ's Dean Hall was in charge of the project, which was to be a collaboration between his studio Rocketworks in New Zealand and Improbable in London, the developers of the Spatial OS engine. Since then, there has been no news on the progress about the game, and in a recent statement by Hall, he can now confirm the project has been abandoned. He didn't give a specific reason for the cancellation, but did say Rocketworks was set up to try a lot of different stuff, to do a lot of experimentation. The two studios seem to have drifted apart, probably due to attempting to make a seriously overambitious game. A couple of games have announced release dates, with Sniper Ghost Warrior being pushed back 3 weeks to April 25th, Outlast 2 also on the 25th, Dawn of War 3 on April 27th, and Telltale's Guardians of the Galaxy sometime this spring. In esports news, the Intel Extreme Masters went underway this week in Katowice, Poland, featuring Heroes of the Storm, StarCraft II, and CSGO. The results are as follows. In the Heroes of the Storm Western Clash, Team Dignitas defeated Fnatic 3-2, taking home $30,000. Seven other teams competed. In the StarCraft II Season 11 World Championship Series, South Korean TY beat fellow countryman Stats 4-3, snagging $100,000 prize money and a seed for the next global playoffs. 75 other players competed. In the CSGO Season 11 World Championship, Danish team Astralis defeated mixed team FaZe Clan 3-1, winning $104,000. 11 other teams competed. The Intel Extreme Masters will also be holding the first leg of their upcoming CSGO Season 12 in Sydney, the first time a large esports event has been held in the country. The $260,000 prize pool is attracting all the big teams, including SK Gaming, winners of the CSGO Majors at ESL1 in Cologne. Blizzard might be considering World of Warcraft's PvE mode for an esports treatment. Kim Fan, director of esports at Big Blue, says while it's not your traditional esports premise, it's definitely competitive. However, Fan is unsure if it will go the whole hog of large cash prizes and huge events. While there's been some discussion as to how this might be implemented, there has been no official word from Blizzard as of yet. Fan also says that it will take some time to get it right, and they'll just have to launch it small scale and see if it works. The top sellers on Steam this week were H1Z1, King of the Kill, Blackwake, For Honor, CSGO, 7 Days to Die, Ghost Recon Wildlands, Torment, Tides of Numenera, Nier Automata, and The Hunter, Call of the Wild. Ubisoft will soon release two games created specifically for treating amblyopia, or lazy eye. The condition affects up to 3% of children around the world, translating to 9 million people in the US alone, and has traditionally been treated using an eye patch over the more powerful eye. However, this method of treatment attracts social stigma, takes a while, and has a high chance of relapse. The games themselves have binocular technology that has shown merit in clinical testing to improve the visual acuity of sufferers of the disorder. The interesting thing is that before these games are released, they must acquire approval from the Food and Drug Administration, much like any other pharmaceutical released to the public. Patients will be required to play for roughly an hour a day over a period of 4 to 6 weeks, which should produce lasting results. Doctors can see real-time statistics about their patients' games, making sure they are following their prescription. You can become a patron of the show at patreon.com/7daysofgaming. Get snazzy rewards and perks in return for everything you donate going towards improving quality and equipment. Whoever signs on before we reach $20 a month will enter into the Hall of Fame, where you can have two links of your choosing displayed on the website. Thanks a bunch for listening to the episode. You can check out the show at 7daysofgaming.com and sign up to the email list, where you get a new podcast in your inbox every week. Make sure you're subscribed on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow me on Twitter at 7_D_G, leave a like on the Facebook page, and join the Steam group. We're also on YouTube, where the show is quick and easy to find if you don't have access to your usual podcast device. Any kind of feedback is welcome. Feel free to leave a review on iTunes and say what you think about the show, or drop by the website and leave me a note. Please do share the show around to anyone you know who's interested in PC gaming. Keep them current. Thanks to Rocco W for the music, and see you next week.